It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in the Great Land. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Hello, I'm Lisa Maynard.
I'm Kirk Maynard.
Welcome to Alaska Realty Today. And today we have our special long-term guest with us, Jamie.
Hi.
She won't go away.
Oh my gosh, I think I was invited. I might have claimed this chair now, I'm not sure.
So first thing we're going to start off with today is later today in the Cold Spot parking lot, we at Next Home are going to be celebrating Luke Day, which Luke is our company mascot. He's a French bulldog, and it's celebrating his birthday. And our company nationwide does a fundraiser for Companions, Inc., which is a nonprofit that helps people get service dogs and have service dogs trained and for those in need that need help financially being able to attain that goal. And so all our proceeds on later today will go towards Companions, Inc. We will have a few baskets out. We're going to be doing some hamburgers and hot dogs for small donations. We're going to have some cat treat, dog treat bags for free. There's going to probably be a few drawings, but it's going to be a good time. We'll be there from 12 to 4. Pets are, of course, welcome, and we hope to see everyone out there.
Yeah, big shout out to the Lions, too, for...
Oh, yes, especially the Lions.
For donating $3,000 to Luke Day and our local chapter of Companions, Inc.
Yeah, that's a substantial help for that organization, and we're very thankful for the Lions doing that donation for us up front.
Awesome. Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah,
so go ahead, Jamie.
No, I was going to just say, so if you want to stop by, that would be fantastic. We'd love to see you. And we'd love it if you just would make a small donation of any kind. We'll be willing to take that.
Yeah, come buy a burger or hot dog. Come buy a raffle ticket. Just make a donation. Come by and say hi.
And we'll have some chips and soda and water.
12 to 4 today at Cold Spot Feeds.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Today I thought, Jamie, we'd talk about lessons learned. We always are learning on the job, new things. I've been doing this 20 years. I know I say that a million times, but it's just we run into stuff that maybe we haven't run into or we haven't run into a long time. So we're always learning.
Yeah.
You're new-ish, and so you're probably always learning something new.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
When do we stop calling her new-ish?
I don't think it's ever going to end at this point.
I think you're new until, I don't know, you're five?
You're 20, and then I think I'll still be going, well, this is weird. I've never seen this before.
But we talked about in our sales meeting, too, and one of our part of what we spend our time on is lessons learned, because it's such a valuable topic and we're always learning from each other. There's always situations coming up. There's always weird, crazy, and stuff that you should just you need to know. So so I'm just going to jump in on mine. So we just closed a transaction that Lisa told me that you thought we would never close, and it was a lot of work. It was a listing of mine. And it was just a ton of work.
Some listings are just going to be that way just because they're a little more unique than the typical one.
Yeah. So if you're a potential seller out there, just know that some stuff some will be easy squeezy. You'll list it and you'll sell it that day, and it'll cash deal. It'll close in 3 weeks, and everything's great. And that's we're happy when that happens. But there's listings that will just never sell. Either the seller overpriced it, or it's just it just doesn't sell. So and everything in between. So. With this property, we had already had an offer on it, but we learned through early on that when you have a tenant in there, you give them a heads up and set some expectations on that you're going to put the house up for sale, what it means, what showings are going to be like, what to do, what not to do. In this case, we had a house and a cabin.
Yeah, two separate properties with two individuals, with neither being the seller.
One property, but two structures.
Two structures. But both units were not seller. Neither was seller occupied. Let's put it that way.
So one, the tenant was there during the appraisal, and the appraiser, she told a bunch of stuff to the appraiser that was incorrect, and scared off the appraiser. First time in 20 years I've had an appraiser say this house is illegal, which I don't even know what that means. But and he's a new appraiser and says, I'm not going to appraise this house. They mentioned something about the water and the house falling down. I mean, it's a $300,000 house in great shape. We have engineers reports and inspections and levelers. And anyway, so what set those expectations. The other one, the tenant was smoking meth or something on a showing?
No. It was someone was jumping to some conclusions. Yeah. It's just nice to
– That might have been fake news.
Yeah. But it is, let your tenant, one, always all tenants get 24 hours notice, but just maybe tuck some things away and don't have them on open tables that even though they are legal in our state, other people might not be as comfortable with and jump to more of an exaggerated.
That's the other realtor's assistant texted me. So, yeah, and I think.
You just got to be careful in that area.
So set the expectations for your tenants. They can get hostile if they don't give them fair notice, give them warning. And it's the right thing to do. Just give them a heads up and let them know that, hey, you're not getting kicked out of your house. Your lease conveys with the sale. And so.
And that's important for anyone that's a tenant to know, because not all have a professional property manager. I might have, you know, a landlord that owns the property themselves. And he might also not know the rules that the long-term leases convey with the sale. Just because a property sells does not mean you're out the door. I mean, that's a little different if you have a month-to-month lease, but people need to know that tenants have rights during a sales transaction, and not everyone knows that.
Yeah, and I think the best thing you can do, just having lots of experience with tenants, with my past history, is put it in writing. Because I think you can have this really great conversation with your tenants, and really what they hear is, I'm being evicted. I'm going to lose my housing.
That's right.
And so, like, no matter what kind of conversation you have with them, they're scared. They don't know what's going to happen. People are going to be invading their space. They get really nervous about it. I just even know as a realtor, I've walked in and I've been like, no, this is, you know, I've been kind of bombarded with questions from a tenant. And I'm like, this is not what's happening. We're not here to take anything. We're not here to touch anything like that. You know, here's kind of what we're going to do and explaining it. So I think it's really important if you're the seller to put it in writing what's going to happen. And, you know, again, I think marijuana being the biggest thing in this state that I see a lot of, when I'm taking buyers in, they don't know what that is sometimes. So, like, you know, I'll see.
If they're from outside, yeah.
Right, and I'll see, you know, coming from the university, I've seen a lot of different bongs before in different sizes, shapes, and you don't know what they are. So, you know, sometimes we'd go in there and be like, what is this? But, I mean, when you take a buyer in there, sometimes they're like, what is this paraphernalia?
Especially from out of state.
Right, yeah, they're jumping to conclusions.
It looks very scary. Yes. Or it looks like you've entered a drug house. And, you know, I'm laughing because it can really take a turn where it's not the turn.
That's right.
You know, you're kind of like, oh, my gosh, this it really isn't as big a deal as you think it is. But I think a lot of it is, like you're saying, put the expectations in if it could be cleaned up. But then I've walked into some places where I'm just like, oh, my gosh, the tenant has gone above and beyond in showing. They've really cleaned things up. They really want it to be sparkling. You know, there's a little note on the door that just says, if you could take your shoes off. One tenant, I couldn't. Their place was so clean. I actually said to the buyers, we're going to take our shoes off. This is so nice. Like, I cannot believe the lengths they've gone to let us into this
place.
And
if you're a tenant, you might want to do that because you might want to keep your job as a tenant. And,
right.
You
know, when
it could be carried over.
Yeah, it could be carried over to the next, you know.
And another thing you can do from a selling side, and we do in some of our properties, is we give a tenant incentive if a house is going up for sale, that we give them an incentive if they keep the house in show shape, if they make showings easy. Of course, they get their 24 hours notice, but they make it easy to show the house, that they get an incentive of a reduced rent on their last month, maybe their entire last month free, and they have those communications. And when you start having some skin in the game by the tenant side, you're much less likely to run into an adversarial tenant situation.
Perfect.
Which can make it really difficult to sell your home if you have an adversarial tenant. And they are out there, and it is because they are scared that you're coming to take their house. But we've had ones where we go to open up the door and they've just dumped all their opened up their trash bags and dumped it at the entry archway so people could not get in. And it's just a lack of communication, a lack of understanding what's going on.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. And yeah, we rolled out our tenant incentive program in 2008 when we had a broker from Seattle come up and spend a week with us getting our property management company up and going. And so it was what they do down in Seattle. And so I thought it was a great program. And Lisa, I sure appreciate you bringing that up. That's a good point. Another one lesson learned on this property is surveys.
Oh,
so
yes.
If you don't have a current survey, you should probably get one. However, Fidelity Title doesn't require a survey at all, and Stewart Title yesterday revoked their age requirement. So I got a call from Title, and he said, disseminate that to our
and
people.
And they also are now taking copyrighted surveys again, which they weren't correct, is another part of the change that they said was happening. Because some surveys do come across our house. Being one of those, when we bought our house, we didn't notice that the surveyor copyrighted it. And so, therefore, we can't use it for anything. But they did just revoke that they will take copyrighted surveys, which is a big change for Stuart.
However, I think you're insane if you don't have a survey or you don't have a survey after GPS came out, because we've seen all sorts of crazy, I'm sure we've talked about on the show, but we've seen whole subdivisions change because it was pre-GPS, and it's just a bad idea. So,
and especially if things can change, and I mean, we were showing a house in off of Slater yesterday, and in the disclosures it said he encroaches on his neighbor's yard, the neighbor encroaches on his yard. I mean, there was encroachments all over it, but that's an older neighborhood that has not been redone, and there are some lines that just don't match up to where actually the property is, and it's just a fact of life. And if you have a newer survey, at least everything will be laid out and have a great understanding of who's where, and maybe you can come to some agreement to we had another one in the same neighborhood where the neighbors actually came to agreement, and one gave a little bit of their land and the other one gave a little bit of their land, and finally there were no encroachments on the property. So there's a lot of ways to work with it.
Yeah, and if I'm about to list a house, one of the first things I do is order a listing packet from the title company, and I'll go through that with a fine-tooth comb. And one of the things I'm looking for is a survey. If there's no survey, that means there's nothing recorded. They could have one. Maybe they failed to have it recorded, so give me that. But more often than not, they just don't have one. Or it might be an old one. So if it's an old one, I'll go ahead and tell them, hey, y'all need to get a new one. If we had the survey on this one ahead of time, he knew that there was an encroachment, but we found out through the tenant that there was an encroachment, and I don't know how they knew that, but it was the septic system. But odds are it was going to fail because it was 20, 30 years old. So we planned ahead. We talked to the surveyor, got a contractor ready to go, and we timed the surveyor to go out there while the septic was being installed, and they went ahead and drew it up, and when it was completed they went back out there. I don't even think they charged to go back out there to ensure it was exactly where the contractor said it was going. So and the survey wasn't bad. You know, $1,100 these days isn't a horrible
I see a little bit of range in all our files. I've seen some right at 1,000, but I've seen some approaching like up to 1,900. And it just depends on the property and the person and the time frame that you're asking for the survey.
Yeah,
is
I've
a big
had
part
a couple
of that.
Where we've had to rush it, and then they've gone up. But yes, completely reasonable and completely worth it. Yes.
Speaking of septics, having work done and not having any contractors has been kind of a hot topic lately. And a lot of people just want to escrow it, but title companies won't escrow it, so it's not truly an escrow. Brokers can hold it. We've done that before. Prepaying it used to be an option, but that is no longer an option, at least with Fidelity. So we wanted to pay the contractor, have it done, you know, 2 or 3 weeks after closing. That was a no-go. They would not take an invoice and pay it later. So that's a
new little change. There's always little tweaks here and there of how transactions work nowadays. Everything seems to be a little different every time.
So the contractor, luckily, we actually pulled him off our house and put when he went over there and did the septic right before he skated out of town.
I'll get a driveway, but at this point, listings are getting septics before I'm getting a driveway.
But man, if you know you need your house is going to need a septic, plan ahead of time, get it done, get the work done well into the early on in the transaction or early on in the listing. Don't wait till the end, and don't expect to be able to pay it. Pay it after closing, or pay it, or have it escrowed, or held in trust.
And you can also use the resource. ADEC has a really good website that has a lot of information for homeowners that are probably facing replacing their septic. It gives a list the list of the septic installers that are approved by ADEC in our area. So you can search for contractors that have their approval paperwork. It talks about the process of putting the paperwork in to be registered with the ADEC, what you need to expect for your size of home. But there's just a great amount of information that not everyone knows is out there.
Yep. Jamie, lessons learned from you?
I mean, I think when we come back from break, we can talk about, you know, just some different things that are happening out there in real estate. I mean... Oh my gosh. I feel like I've just am a plethora of lessons learned.
Yeah, I'm sure we could record like 10 shows on.
10 shows. Yes. every day I feel like I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to call and check on this because this seems strange. And then you normally say, I haven't seen that in 20 years. Or maybe I saw that once in 20 years. And I go, how does that happen to me? I'm not sure.
All the time.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about that when we get back.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
Each week, people are saving big time with the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer. There's simply no better way to promote your business, as our 50-50 Friday promotion airs every hour, every day for a full week on 8 of Fairbanks' most popular radio stations. There's simply no better way to get the word out about your business. So if you have a grand opening plan, maybe a big sale, special event or promotion, or just want to get the word out, this is the best way to let the public know about it, as your business receives more than $10,000 in promotional value over the course of 1 week, with your ads playing constantly, as well as being promoted live by our talented local radio announcers. And the best part, all that it costs you are some gift certificates. It's 50-50 Friday from the radio station, which is why we have local businesses sign up again and again and again. Call us today and tell us you want to promote your business with 50-50 Friday. It's the best way to let Fairbanks know. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business, period.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs. Starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. A look at Alaska's budding new industry brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. Followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. The Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And later, it's Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30 p.m. To kick off our Saturday night food programming. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Welcome back, and we're going to continue our discussion about lessons learned. Jamie was just going to share a few things that she's been running into that we are all going to sort of dive into and figure out what the best course of action is.
Yeah, so this year, what was newest to me, so of course I've dealt with surveys, I've dealt with lot lines, all those things I've already run into that we've talked about, and, you know, of course, drugs. And one thing I was going to mention before I get into my topic is having tenants. One thing I have done is used just extra communication when I actually had tenants in, texting as reminders, just letting them know that we had the showing. So if I had multiple showings
that
day,
that's nice.
I did. I asked them if they were comfortable with like a group text, because I had two tenants. So I text them the schedule for the day just as a reminder of what showings were happening. That was really helpful, I felt, as the on the seller's end, as their realtor, just making sure that they knew kind of what the schedule was going to look like, even though they had access to that, even though it texted them and they were on our showing time schedule. I just, again, went the extra mile to make sure that they remembered and that I was sending something, and then they responded back to me, thank you. So that's just something to think about, just the little extras. Just because they're busy and they're working, or they have a lot of things going on. And then one thing I did also was just really make sure I was very aware of their schedule, because one worked a night shift. And so early morning showings was not acceptable to her. So I let the other cabin that I was showing be shown and said that we could show cabin A but not cabin B. And then after like 1 o'clock, both cabins could be shown at the same time. So I just let that be known in the listing that if, you know, they wanted to wait, but if they had to come and see one cabin, they could come and do that as the realtor could show. So this year, what was new to me was rent back. So I have a lot of clients that are, you know, nervous
and
to get
simple,
things.
Simple, what is a rent back? Because not everyone's used
yeah.
to that term
so
out there.
So that's where we sell the listing, and then the seller no longer owns their property because it's now been purchased by the buyer, but they rent it back to stay in it until they're ready to leave the state or ready to move into their new
property. Their next residence.
Right. And so that was, I've heard of it. I just had never executed it or done it before.
I can count on one hand how many times I've done a rent back, but they're so popular right now.
We have four in the office right now.
Yes.
I see all the paperwork.
Well, and I was laughing because as soon as it happened to me, then of course we were discussing it in the office. And then I think there were more of us that had it. And I think it's just because we have sellers that are nervous. They want to get it on the market. They want to make sure that it sells. They don't want to be waiting. And they want to be in state before, you know, if they are leaving state, they want to be in state. So they're okay renting it back and keeping it. And the houses are... Even when you're assuring them that the house is probably going to go pretty quickly, I still believe they don't believe it. So, of course, we went within the first 10 days. And I think they were thinking it would take about 30 days to sell, you know, given some time for showings and nice.
Yeah.
So we're renting back, which just means that contractually we have to have an ironclad contract. They're going to pay some kind of rent. Normally the mortgage, if it's a month.
Divided by 30 days.
Yep, divided by 30 days.
So it's sort of like a reverse early occupancy, which we see a lot more early occupancies up here than we do written backs, but it's sort of an in reverse.
Both are scary propositions, so be very careful and leery of both of those. All sorts of things can go wrong. For early occupancy, I highly suggest that you have all the hurdles taken care of before you execute that agreement or execute it during an offer or somewhere during it. Don't have the commencement of the early occupancy start until after all those hurdles are done, because you get somebody in there, it's a disaster getting somebody out.
Having someone in there before the inspection period is completed is going to be problematic, because it sort of leaves both parties in a certain situation. They have the inspection, they're negotiating repairs, but they're already in the house, and it can be one thing after another. Yes.
But there are some occasions where it's perfect, and but buyer's gone, it's 40 below, or seller's gone, it's 40 below. They get in there, they start making payments, they're keeping the house warm.
Yeah. They're on location.
It's all sorts of good, but those are rare.
Yes.
So just pay attention.
But we've had a few of those work wonderfully, because they are a client. He had to leave for his next station. Our person was coming in early. It was winter time, and now the house would be lived in, lighted, everything that's positive for the property. So sometimes it does work out great. And when it's both parties are great to work with, too, as part of it. You want to make sure that everyone's on the same board.
Now, we did a rent back, and the buyer gave it to the lender. The lender's like, no, you can't. You got to move into the house. You can't rent back. And the rent back was... I think he told him it was going to be like 6 months or something crazy. And it was not that long. It only ended up being like 3 weeks.
It was 3 weeks. And they were going for worst case scenario just because of things that was happening.
But pay attention to your loan type. And when you actually have to have the buyer move into the house, they can't just rent it out as an investment property.
Yes, specific loans have restrictions on when. I mean, I think it's VA. You're supposed to automatically immediately occupy. There are some caveats that can be worked around through the lender and communication of what's going on.
And I'm not aware that our board of realtors, we do have an early occupancy agreement, that a standard one that everybody uses, 3 pages, very thorough. The rent back agreement, I'm not aware that our board of realtors has a rent back agreement. So pay attention to that, because there's some cruddy ones out there and there's some decent ones out there. I can tell you the last one we did, we had to add in some written our own language to, just because it was just not.
It was missing some spots.
Yeah, it was not great.
Yeah, there were some questionable things just left out.
Not a great contract. The other thing with rent back is you don't necessarily know what you're getting because we did a final walkthrough, and it's kind of hard to see with all their belongings there. And then we go in a month later, and the dad had come up actually because the son was out in the field training, and it was the dirtiest house he's seen in his lifetime. It was that bad, and he spent a week cleaning it. And this guy he tells it straight, and we should have written in there that we had something that professionally cleaned or something have happened, because it was
make sure you really spell out your verbiage, because one person might interpret a sentence differently than another. So you want to use very specific language, because you don't saying to be cleaned, that's not enough for someone to know exactly.
Your clean and my clean could be very, very different.
And so you just need to spell out those things, like we want all appliances cleaned inside and out, the carpets to be shampooed, just lay it out just so everyone is on the same page and there isn't any ill will that one side feels the other side didn't do something that no one really wanted to happen. It's just because of what they viewed was written and what right. the other one was viewed written.
I
want to stay on my same property again because I remembered another lesson learned. So there's two structures, a main house and then a cabin. And I had not paid attention. I guess I didn't even know. It wasn't an approval. But the house, for the buyer to approve for that amount, it had to appraise as a duplex. He needed the income. Otherwise, he couldn't buy the house. And I guess I wouldn't have known that in a pre-approval letter. So, but the lender got a hold of me and said, hey, we need this to approve as appraised as a duplex. So FYI, if you have a house that is maybe considered a duplex or has an ancillary
it gets really different with when you get into what is not the typical what the everyone else views as a duplex. I mean, you have your standard view of what a duplex, but in Alaska, there's a lot of combinations that some interpret as true duplexes, others interpret as you have an auxiliary or ancillary building. That's a tongue twister. Building on the lot, but they don't consider an actual dwelling, so that can affect your loan. There's just a lot of ambiguities when you deal with that area, and it really depends upon your loan officer, your appraiser, everyone, and just really being open and talk about what it is, what they consider it, so there is no surprises for anyone at the end.
Well, and that's a good thing to even bring up, because there are so many houses right now that the mother-in-law is a rental. You know, I mean, and I could see a potential buyer looking at that and thinking, oh my gosh, that's right now rented. They're selling the house. It's a rentable income. I'm looking at that as a duplex. Maybe I can get the loan, because that, you know, a lot of people, when I'm contacted, they're like, I need some type of rentable space. I need to be able to bring in an income, even if it's a house with a mother-in-law, even if it's something with a cabin structure, even if it's something with a, like there was probably two properties in the last 2 months that had a garage with an upper structure that, you know, put in a septic and you can now have a rental.
It's a frog.
Put it, yep.
Free room over garage.
Yep. And it's, I mean, but people are building and adding things on so that others can look at some type of income. So it's just something to be thinking about.
And one thing we've run into, and it's been a while, but we did run into, it came down to whether or not the dwelling had 2 meters.
Oh.
So their big thing they were getting hung up with, it had always been two separate units, but they, you know, gentleman's agreement or so forth, they were splitting electricity down the middle because they were the same size, but it was a single meter. And that caused another meter having to be installed prior to close so it could be considered a true duplex. Yeah. And so that's one of the weird things.
The problem was it didn't have a permanent foundation, and that's a whole other topic. But
that was a different
we'll discuss that another week. So thank you guys so much. Come see us today on Luke Day.
From 12 to 4 in the Cold Spot parking lot. Will be easy to find. We'll have a lot of bright orange out there and some balloons and some fun things going on. And we'd love to see you and all your pets and raise money for a great, great cause. Everyone go enjoy your Saturday. And stay tuned for The Buzz.
And happy Father's Day.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to KFAR.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, an Alaska Frontier Media Active production.